there's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac, stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's been a newsy day here on The Score, and we appreciate you hanging with us here. Our segment with Mark Grody is being brought to you by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. And yes, we have been discussing the Athletic story about Jerry Reinsdorf seemingly being willing to sell the White Sox, and we are tracking it down with sources that we've talked to all day since this story broke. And if anything else happens, we will share it with you, and people are discussing it inside our Twitch stream. By the way, if you want to watch the show, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore is the way that you can do that. Folks have been texting us as well. 312-644-6767.
Our guy Mark Grody joins us to talk Bears news. And even though there is no news because they're off for the bye week, it's your dime and your dance floor, and we've got lots of Bears issues to get to. What's up, Groats?
I actually have something I'd like to throw on the dance floor regarding the Bears, because there is something happening with the Bears. While we are all justifiably obsessed with what's going on with the offense, that's the word I'm using, so I guess if you don't want to seem obsessed with offense, that's fine. But all of a sudden, and when it comes to the Bears defense, I thought it was premature last year for people to be calling the Bears a top five defense. I was pretty comfortable calling them a top 10 defense, but I'm looking through some of the defensive statistics, and they're popping up top five in a lot of areas. So I don't know if I'm ready to refer to the Bears defense as elite. As a matter of fact, I think the bar that I'm thinking about relative to the Bears defense is, can they get to be as good as they were in 2018? Because 2018, although it didn't last, it started to fold midway through 2019, and it never got really awful, but it was elite for 1 year. Can the Bears get to that level? Or do you guys think that the Bears defense now is already at the 2018 level?
I don't think they're at the 2018 level, because you would need sack totals to be higher, and they don't really have that. What they have had is a number of pressures. Those pressures have turned into takeaways for them. I think their defensive backfield is elite. I think their linebackers have been playing elite football. The defensive line is still an issue for me, but it hasn't really been an issue for them yet. Now, I am wondering if a team is able to take advantage of that in the run game at some point, but I looked at the performance, and this is one of the reasons why I didn't want to turn the page, Speaks.
Okay. We haven't talked much defense, right?
Because we haven't talked a lot about defense. And before he got hurt, I thought Kyler Gordon played a perfect game. And from the position that he's asked to play as the nickel corner on this team, his combination of coverage, blitzing, run fit, tackling is elite. Like, I'm amazed that he is this player. I thought that he would be a guy, if you looked at the scouting of him coming out of Washington, that you would love to have as the nickel guy because he has inside-outside cover skills.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how willing he is as a blitzer and a tackler just warms my heart. So it kind of breaks my heart that he got hurt in that game. Hopefully he'll be fine, but that's the type of production that they're getting. Their two linebackers are playing great.
Yeah, they really are.
Football. So it gets me excited that, yeah, I do think we're in a place where we can start talking about the Bears defense as elite. There's just one thing that they're missing, and that's the thing that keeps them from being discussed as the best.
And that's the sack numbers, like production from that D-line. But if they keep getting home with some of the creative blitzes, man, because every time they blitz, it seems to get there. I'll say this to your point, Groats. Two things about it. One is sort of more abstract, that like I was thinking that game might have been a barn burner you know, 34-27 or something like that. And I remember Olin Krutz laughing at me and saying, I don't think this Bears defense has given up 30 points. And no, they were not. And the other thing is that, to your point, it's the hits principle, man. They have a +6 turnover differential that's tied for fifth. They have forced 13 turnovers. That is second in the NFL. 13 turnovers they have forced. And
So that's two categories where they're top five.
Yep, that's two categories where they're top five. And it's a big one in terms of the hits principle, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, those are massive. I mean, and that's what the Bears have been talking about since training camp. That's what they want to do. I get that's not exactly original. That's what defensive coordinators want to do. You want to force turnovers. And here's the best part, I think, about the defense, that we have seen some bad moments for the defense where a running back will burst through for a touchdown on occasion. We've seen, like, what's going on with the defense. But then, like Matt Eberflus defenses have done, they have adjusted. They seem to be adjusting faster this year. Remember, last year, it was always at halftime, okay, what the hell is going on with the defense? We've got to get this thing right. And then they would come out, and then they would be strong in the second half. Now it's almost like Matt Eberflus has been doing this with this personnel group long enough to adjust it quarter to quarter. So we have ascribed that word adjustment to the offense quite a bit, and it is justified, but we are also seeing good adjustments being made on the defense. And to the Kyler Gordon point, the best thing about that is that's an ascending player, a guy that gets a little bit better every single year. He's a guy that you drafted relatively high, one of Ryan Poles' first draft picks that needed to be good. And it's not like it's a shock that he's good because the talent was there. But I don't even know what his ceiling is as a player. He may be, Matt Eberflus referred to him as one of the best corners, slot corners in the league the other day. I mean, he said that. So, and I have not seen, like, of all the Matt Eberflus things, he has not been prone to hyperbole, like going overboard, especially with his defensive guys. He called that guy one of the best nickel corners in the game.
Yeah, and it shows. And you add that to, no one wants to throw at Jalen Johnson. Tyreek Stevenson, another ascending player.
Ascending player.
They have now, I think, a better choice at free safety than what they've had recently.
In terms of Byard?
Yes.
Oh, big
time. Well, finally. He's playing. I think he had kind of a bumpy start, quite frankly. But all of a sudden, Spiegs, last 2 weeks, he looks like the guy that was in his prime.
Absolutely. This guy, his run support, it has gone undiscussed. He has come up and run support several times over the last 2 weeks. And that interception against Carolina is
deep one.
That is high-level defensive backfield play. I mean, knowing how to use his body and aim the leverage and getting that done. He's played very, very well.
And I mean, there's an argument to be made too for Groat's guy. Jervon Dexter has been a difference maker at three technique this year in a way that I was not expecting so far.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, to have those sack numbers up like he does, I mean, that's the ideal. That's what Ryan Pohl said, the fastest way to the quarterback is from the defensive line. And that was, theoretically, that was one of the ways that they had planned to get more quarterback sacks. Now, you still want more from the other side. You know, another guy, too, you know, DeMarcus Walker was in on a sack as well. He made that sack happen. I think he only got credit for half of it, and it didn't feel like Rich Eisen wanted to give him credit for it. But DeMarcus Walker has stayed healthy, has played relatively well. I'd like to see him up those sack numbers as well.
So one other guy on the defense that we haven't talked much, and you mentioned both linebackers playing well. They paid Tremaine Edmonds, believing they could get production in terms of turnovers and splash plays from him. That is a former number one first round draft pick in Buffalo. They didn't pick up his option year. They didn't pick up his fifth year option because they were disappointed that he didn't make enough splash plays. And Flus had come here. You remember these storylines, Groats. Flus had come here after having Darius Leonard, now Shaq Leonard, in Indy as a star middle backer. And we were like, oh, can he make Roquan Johnson have turnover production? And they eventually trade Roquan, get a 2 and a 5 for him, and sign Edwards for much cheaper long term. How does that look right now? At this point, with Edmonds, he's got an interception and a forced fumble this year. Should be two, in my opinion. That was a forced fumble that got overturned. I don't think should have in London. But how does that exchange look right now?
It's looking better. I mean, honestly, like if I had to choose between the two players, I still would rather have had Roquan Smith on this Bears team. Tremaine Edmonds had, I thought, a kind of a rough year last year, just like most players when the season started last year. He was injured. It felt like he disappeared for a while, like you weren't hearing his name called. But yes, he has stepped up his game. He's looking more like, and they set the bar pretty damn high for Tremaine Edmonds in Buffalo. Maybe a little bit too high, but he, with his height, he is an imposing figure. He is starting to make plays, and he is one of those guys who's a legitimate leader in that locker room who everybody respects. And I think that, you know, I think that he can continue to make big plays throughout the year. But I think, I don't know how you guys feel, but all in all, you know, Roquan's gone. That story's over. But I still think, like, Roquan Smith is the better player overall.
I do too, but I've been very impressed with what I've seen from Edwards for sure.
Edwards or Edmonds?
No, Edwards.
Oh, Edwards. Okay. You were talking about Edmonds, right, Speed?
I was definitely talking about Edmonds.
I know.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't screw it up.
I'm going to get to Edmonds, who I think is now playing much better. And if you look like at what he did in the second half of the season, plus where things are now, I think he's on solid ground. I think TJ Edwards, from the moment that he put on a Bears jersey, has been pretty terrific. And watching the way that he plays the game is cool. So you can look at it and say, yeah, because, you know, I'm a big Roquan guy. That's a guy that is an all-pro, that if he keeps playing like this and keeps gathering all-pros, who knows where that ends up for his career. They ended up kind of getting a draft pick and two starting linebackers for the price of Roquan. So you can make the argument if you're the Bears and go, they did it more efficiently, even though they gave away the better player.
My comp, by the way, on TJ Edwards is just in the way that they play is Lance Briggs. And I'm not necessarily saying, you know, areas and position and all of that, but Lance Briggs, I thought, like, watching him play and covering him just a little bit, he was never the fastest guy out there, but he was so quick in his space. He was also just such a solid tackler and a smart player, was in the right place to make plays all the time. That's TJ Edwards, another guy who is not going to blow you away with his athleticism, but he's always in the right place, always a really good fundamental tackler and just a smart player. So that's my Briggs Edwards comp.
All right, good stuff. Mark Grody is with us. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show on 670 The Score. If you're watching on Twitch, perhaps you have noticed that the mini fridge, Doug Kramer himself, is in the studio with us.
The mini fridge.
It's not Doug Kramer. It's actually our mini fridge. But we're in the proper formation, Mark Grody. And you may be wondering, why is the mini fridge once again in the studio?
It is a very handsome refrigerator.
It is a handsome refrigerator. Somebody had a great idea. As we have talked about Doug Kramer's role, we also mentioned that our mini fridge has but two stickers on it. And the stickers are for Cubs Radio and for 670 The Score. And the idea came from a listener that the mini fridge should earn stickers based on its performance this year for the Chicago Bears.
This is wild.
And we thought this was a terrific idea. So
it already has two stickers on it.
Yes, it has the
Cubs.
Yes.
And our Bears coverage?
Yeah,
or is it Bulls stuff on there?
What is the other sticker there, Shane?
Just a basic score?
It's just a basic score one. Yeah, score one and a Cubs one. Here's what we have now. For every game that the mini fridge appears, the mini fridge will earn a sticker for that team. The Rams sticker is being applied right now by Shane Reardon.
So wait, you went and got like team stickers?
Went and got my props. The LA Rams sticker is being applied by Shane Reardon. Doug Kramer, two snaps in that game. The Carolina Panthers sticker is being applied by Shane Reardon. 9 snaps on offense for Doug Kramer in that game. And the Jacksonville Jaguars sticker is being applied. 5 snaps there. We also have a Great Britain sticker since Doug moved across the pond and conquered Great Britain in terms of football. Now, here's where I need your help, Lawrence, and the help of our listeners. other accomplishments by Doug Kramer should be represented in sticker fashion on the mini fridge. Don't you agree?
Yes, Illini stickers.
Oh, Illini sticker. He does deserve an Illini sticker.
He scores a touchdown or gets a run. That's an Illini sticker.
Well, but he's already accomplished Illini. So this is
what I'm saying. We don't. I mean, we could do another Bears sticker for him. But I was saying for it to be representative of Doug, why not do an Illini sticker for every great play that he makes, since we have the NFL stickers for him just playing in the game.
We do, though, have additional NFL stickers that they sent, some odd ones. So, like, one of the additional NFL stickers could represent if he scores a touchdown.
Well, what I need to know, I would need to know what the other stickers are.
We have those available, and after Shane is done with the sticker application, he can go get them. But I think you make a good point. The Illini sticker might need to be compulsory. How about the Hinsdale high school sticker?
I don't know if Hinsdale has stickers.
They'll make one for us.
That they could send us if they wanted to. That would be great. But I'm just saying that we know that there could be, that we know that there are Illini stickers. And why not show some love to the University of Illinois?
Deserved.
By if Doug Kramer does something great.
Has he studied at Olin Krutz's gym? Does Olin Krutz's gym have a sticker?
I don't think so.
Okay. But, like, he's been in motion already. Groats, like, does he get a sticker for just simply going in motion? I don't think so.
That's not how it would be done on, like, a football team.
What happens if Doug Kramer gets a start in a game? I don't know if we have enough stickers to put on the mini fridge to account for that. I also have an idea, too. You know, I still know a few people down on the sideline. Maybe I sneak the mini fridge down onto the sideline, just like they used to have that turnover bucket that I used to cover. I covered a turnover bucket when I was working sidelines. Remember the turnover bucket?
Very well, very well. Yes. Now, if you're talking about Doug Kramer himself coming over to our mini fridge and getting himself a cold drink during the game, we're getting somewhere.
Well, or maybe we could get, like, actual, like, bear face stickers. You know, like the Grody Bear.
Grody Bear.
If he does something great, we have a bear face sticker and we line those up, like, in order. We could do that.
Now the listeners are going to start getting in here. Texture says he could get one of those magnetic chip clips to acknowledge his clipping penalty. That's excellent.
Hey,
get a clip on there.
It's all part of the story, right?
A pancake sticker for pancake blocks.
He had a 1980s clipping penalty. I was so proud of him.
So there we go. Look how proud he is with his new stickers.
And a drink.
Lauren's got him a drink.
I can't see it.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, I'm on Zoom here. I'm looking. The camera's got to get on. I got to see it.
You got to call up Twitch. Great job, Shane. You're an excellent sticker applicator.
Hey, you bought them, dude. You put in the legwork.
No, but those look beautiful. What else? Did he give him a bear sticker there? Is that what that is?
Yeah, there's a bear sticker over there on the left side.
Oh, my God.
Of the mini fridge.
This is just getting
there it
going.
Is. I see it. So, I see the British flag is shining through.
Really
oh, yeah. Let's, I don't like that.
Let's hope he keeps playing and he doesn't get cut.
Oh, there is that.
This is going to be very cruel.
Lawrence, remember, he took they gave him a 4-week vacation to Arizona. If it happens, it happens.
Well,
as long as he makes his way home, it's okay.
This is a key point, because soon Larry Borum will be back. Ryan Bates might be back.
Yeah.
Kari Blasingame can play fullback, last I looked. Here's Brad Biggs with Mullion Hall on Doug Kramer's roster security.
You've got to make some moves. You can't keep 11 offensive linemen on the 53-man roster.
Just tell us the mini fridge is safe, right, Doug Kramer?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah, I would think so. You know, that would be my guess.
That doesn't sound definitive. It doesn't.
It sounded definitive initially, and then Biggs was like, well, wait a minute. I just now understand what you guys are asking me. Maybe don't get too excited about all of that.
What do we do if he gets cut? He's not going to get cut.
Well,
if he's inactive,
if he might get cut and then re-sign to the practice squad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now that he's been showcased. Now he's been showcased as a fullback. He's going to make a team out there.
I'm telling you, man, this Doug Kramer stuff would have been so much better for last year or the year before when he could have shined even more. Because, yes, I mean, if we're being real here, there is potential for old Doug Kramer to be the odd man out on the Bears' offensive line.
Sure. But maybe that turns into – it's not Doug Kramer who's cut. because you need positional flexibility.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Kari Blasingame that ends up with an injury and goes back on IR.
There you go. There you go. You can always, of course, just cut Nate Davis if you want to do that.
It seems
like they're getting closer and closer to doing that.
Yeah, yeah, that could be coming, man. I mean, again, don't get me all fired up here about, you know, him saying, Matt Eberflus saying what a professional Nate Davis was. I think that does kind of set it up for when they go overboard with the compliments about a player that they don't like, that it does make me wonder how long he's going to be here.
Grody, we knew you'd appreciate this idiocy in all its forms. Thank you, sir.
I needed it. I'm glad we got to talk a little defense today. We will resume our regular offensive talks when next I come on.
I was worried when I was following you today on Instagram. Has Dave been fed?
Yes. Dave has remained quiet and sleeping, and he, as a matter of fact, because we're on the bye and I get to get everything done, Dave is going in for a weight check tomorrow. We're going to find out if he's made any progress.
Okay.
Good luck to Dave.
Thanks for asking, Lawrence. I appreciate that, man.
I like Dave the Cat. DTC.
DTC. Bears.
Every time you say DTC, I think you're saying ITC, and it's inside the clubhouse. So is Dave hosting inside the clubhouse?
Every time I say it, I feel like I'm saying direct to consumer, which is something that I wish CHSN had.
These are our brains and how they work, everybody.
Especially tonight. Thanks, Groats.
Seriously. Bye, guys.
What do you feed him, Mark?
Food? I can't remember the brand name, Shane, but it's wet food. I can figure out the brand name.
Just do less of it. If he's fat, just feed him less.
Well, you know, we've tried everything, Shane. You know, do cats take that Ozempic? Can I get that Ozempic for Dave? Can I just give that cat a shot?
It's called Meowzempic.
By the way,
diabetic cats are really pissed. They can't get the regular stuff anymore because the fat ones are taking it.
You can just go to a med spa now. You don't have to go to an actual doctor to get Meowzempic.
BTW to Shane, I did not know The Office was your favorite show, and I've been watching it for the first time over about the last year and a half. I'm a late bloomer to the program, and it might be the funniest sitcom I've ever seen. And I don't know if that's going over. It might be.
It's definitely on the list. You know where else? Yeah. Your guy, Joe Madden, huge fan of The Office.
I know, and I never used to get to play. All the reporters would ask him about characters. I have, you know, that crazy Dwight. I'd never know what they were talking about, and now I get it. I get it all.
We're glad that you get it, Groats.
Bye. Bars?
Bye.
Bears.
See ya.
Bears. When we come back, we want to talk about something ugly that happened in our business. It's next here on The Score.
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season?
Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, not considering that.
But you've done it once before.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
Okay, that part I think is fair as a retort from Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Especially after an embarrassing loss. Like, I get that part of it.
Look, Jerry is the owner. Jerry can say what he wants. But Jerry also puts himself out there a lot.
Yeah, he has a weekly show. He speaks after every game to the assembled media.
He wants all the credit and theoretically wants to be available for all the blame, theoretically.
That part to me is all right, because in that moment you're reacting to the news. That doesn't feel you're challenging each other as host and guest, but it's not threatening. But that changed.
That changed 2 days later when he goes on the flagship. That's a very key
part of this discussion.
This is the station that carries the Cowboys games, and teams can sometimes feel as if they are owners of the hearts and minds of people who work on those stations.
That is correct. And so this is what the exchange with Jer and the host of that show was like, which is not being received very well.
Now, if you think I'm interested in a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about, this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry,
okay. Y'all really think you're going to sit here with a microphone and tell me all of the things that I've done wrong and without going over the rights?
Well,
now, listen, we both know we're talking to a lot of great fans and a lot of great listeners, and I am very sorry for what happened out there Sunday. So let's just go ahead. I'm trying to answer your questions, man. You want some conversation this morning? You're getting it.
Yeah, they sure are. Listeners, and we just now got a glimpse into the ugliness of that guy's dominant heart when it comes to how he rules the land that he rules.
That's Shannon RJ, 105.3 The Fan. I'm bothered by this. And look, we know that the media has become, media capital M has become a really easy target. And I get people not wanting to feel bad for us for some of these situations. In this particular situation, I want you to understand that was a threat and a double down on the threat.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, the I'm not kidding part is chilling.
I'll get you fired today, like, essentially.
Like the idea of that. And I think that most people...
I'm not kidding.
I think that it happens sometimes. I think most people understand what the role is where people will get mad at us, for example, be like, well, you guys are the Cubs station, so you have to say that. We're the Score first.
First of all, we're very fortunate that no team we've ever had a relationship with has ever come close to anything even remotely like this.
I mean, there have been things that have gone on in the background from some places that we've had relationship with, but definitely nothing as brazen as that.
Well, I don't know of a threat of any kind happening even in the background from a rights holder. If you do, that's news to me. And there are certainly bosses that have stood in the way, or I would think would stand in the way.
We've been very lucky that we've had great bosses that whatever our opinion is, and for the most part, so that you know where my line is, as long as it's not a personal attack, I think that for the most part, it's fair game. If we're talking about criticism of this stuff, it's okay. That to me is scary because of the type of power that we've seen Jerry Jones wield in the room with 31 other owners. He has been someone who has pushed and made things happen. It's why he's one of the most successful owners in sports, is because of the way that he has wielded power. But what you just saw there was something very dangerous.
Yeah, it was very ugly, and it is the reality for a station that partners with him. These owners, man, I mean, like, they're fans. They're fans with money. And there are very few checks and balances when you get to the very top of an organization like that. There can be suggestions, but you get to be yourself. And when you put yourself out there as much as he does, then the chance, especially when things go badly like this, and this is not just one game. This is multiple years of them falling short of the supposed standards and not really making big changes to do that. And he knows, and that was the line of questioning, was about the offseason. Why didn't you do anything? And he knows it's true. He knows it's true.
Yeah, it's the way that this season has kind of come about, too, that the criticism went into how the Cowboys have kind of ended up here. I think that people have turned a blind eye to some of the creep of team run or league run stuff and the relationships that have to happen when you start talking about a rights holder is and what power and what sway might come from that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a very dangerous game.
A lot of this comes down to sports media literacy as well, or media literacy in general, of like people being understanding what kind of position, you know, you can be in at times, and are the certain jobs come with a level of understanding, but that's a similar job on a similar relationship within a similar company to ours. That's what's chilling about it.
Well, and to me, it's different if this were on the Cowboys broadcast. That's different. That to me is a whole different section of our business, where if on the post game show,
sure,
the host of the post game show is attacking Jerry Jones, that's probably not a good look, because they are literally paying for that, or you're literally paying them for the right to carry what it is that you've got on the air.
That's a key point. This is a talk show during the week. It is literally like us during the week. Of a rights holder. For him to think that it's okay to do that, I hope those hosts are getting defended the way that I believe our bosses would defend us.
I think they are, and I think it's even more than that, where shout out to Uncle Shay, Shannon Sharp went ballistic on First Take talking about that, because I think that he understands, and it's rare, even where people that are in our position or people who are in what some would consider loftier positions than us, are able to understand that that's what happened was those two hosts were threatened. They were threatened uh-huh. by someone who does have enough power to impact their lives. And that's not cool. And it shouldn't be allowed. But there are going to be the people that'll just go, well, he's the whole reason that they're there. He should get to say whatever he wants. There are people who believe in that type of demagoguery, and the folks like that should be allowed to do stuff like that. I just think that it becomes very dangerous, and you don't want those guys' opinions suppressed so that they can't have honest conversations with fans. Now, there's a difference too. You don't have to, and I don't think in those clips those guys were being jerks about it at all. There are plenty of places where that could have devolved into something a lot more ugly. It doesn't have to be that. And when you're criticizing a team, it doesn't have to be going to the nth degree in your criticism.
But the difference is this is a conversation. You're going on, which means you're going to be interviewed, which means you're going to potentially get grilled after a pathetic performance. I'm sorry it was your birthday, Jerry, but you agreed to go on your team got rolled.
But Speaks, what I mean is that it wasn't like these guys are like, Jerry Jones is the dumbest man that's ever lived, and here's Jerry Jones. Like, it wasn't that type of party. They were asking legitimate questions that yep. I think most Cowboys fans would want to hear Jerry answer. Yep. And there is a history of Jerry Jones not being so thin-skinned that he would go all the way to threatening them. He's had good conversations when the Cowboys have been bad
mm-hmm.
on the air, on that show. He's had those conversations.
Yeah.
So for him to go off the way that he went off was a bit surprising.
Yeah, surprising and dangerous. And I agree with that.
Very dangerous.
It's 670 The Score. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show right here. We like to end the show with something silly and ridiculous. I know we already put stickers on a mini fridge that remains
yeah,
in the studio.
Yeah, that has a drink in front of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. And still, we will have something silly and ridiculous before we get out of here. Bulls basketball on the score tonight. Lonzo Ball's return. You'll hear it here, even if you won't see it at home on 670 The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on The Score.
If that's not a promo, I don't know what is.
Oh my goodness, that was sick! Yeah.
Oh, ah. It's like my favorite thing to do in music.
You're good at it.
So, the Spiegel and Holmes show today, it's been very meaty here, and we're going to have a little fun before we end the show, but the news of the day has been the story that came out in The Athletic. Jerry Reinsdorf open to selling White Sox. Matt Spiegel is the host of Hit and Run, along with being my partner here on this here show. And I know that you've been talking to people and getting reaction all day about this story and why it's so juicy and meaty to people here in Chicago.
Yeah, it's something that you've been dreaming of if you're a White Sox fan, but you look at the possibility that this leads to them going to Nashville and you wonder if that's really what you want. I think you end up hoping that it is what I believe you and I both feel like it is right now, which is a convenient story that doesn't quite pass the smell test, that it's a potential leverage play, maybe even for both sides, because Dave Stewart's group needs to be taken seriously in Nashville, and we know that Jerry needs to be taken seriously to try and get state funding for the new stadium. So I think if you're a Sox fan, you're kind of hoping that it's a leverage play at this point.
Yeah, it's a story that I think is going to have some repercussions over the next couple of days. You did hear us coming back.
I can't do it that fast. You're hired next time Tributosaurus becomes disturbed.
Okay. Will we be able to play for the fine folks on the Yankees broadcast?
Oh, boy. Both the Yankees and the Mets.
Just Yankees, yeah. Just Yankees now, yeah.
Just Yankees. Yeah, Susan Waldman was psyched to get to do a disturbed read as they are coming to MSG.
And we know who Susan Waldman is, right? She's the legendary analyst for Yankees radio, author of one of the great sports radio clips in the history of sports
radio. George's
box! Roger Clemens is in George's box, and Roger Clemens is coming back. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Let me also say that Susan Waldman was an accomplished Broadway singer. She was in Man of La Mancha with Robert Goulet.
Back is that true?
100%.
Goulet.
Yeah.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. Red ships of Spain. So anyway, so this is the ALCS is happening, and the New York stations are running a promo for the band Disturbed, which you heard coming out of the break, and Susan acknowledged the absurdity of it all.
She sure did.
Go see Disturbed on the Sickness 25th Anniversary Tour with 3 days grace and 7 dust.
Pitch foul, Black.
I am the wrong person to read this ad. I have no idea what I just said. Okay, 2 sets, 1 show. The Sickness in its entirety and greatest hits, Friday, March 21st. I'm sorry. At Madison Square Garden. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com.
Hey, here's the 0-2. Grounded foul, first base side. It happens every now and then. You read something, you have
people.
No idea what you're reading.
No idea what I'm reading.
Remember when Vin Scully did that?
Yes. It was a, how long ago it was? It was a Radio Shack award.
All right, here's the 0-2.
So thank you to John Greenberg, who tipped me to that last night late. And, of course, it got my brain spinning. Got the little hamster wheel going.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, what would this sound like, a disturbed Susan Waldman mashup?
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down. The sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, Susan, I thank you.
Tanny, forget about Disturbed for a second. Somewhere, John the Rock Mamola is so happy because 7 Dust is on that bill, too.
7 Dust.
Is John the Rock Mamola qualified?
Well, that's what Bulldog Drummond asked years and years ago.
Did he really?
Yeah, there's a whole... Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, it was a whole thing. He went to his house.
Wow.
See Daddy's blog?
That's a wrap.
See, there's still stuff we don't know. You and I, as some of the elder statesmen of this radio station, we know most things, but that's something I don't know that chapter at all.
John the Rock Mamola.
That's John Drummond?
Yes, this is John Bulldog Drummond.
That's amazing. Never said my name. That's cool.
Well, that's okay. His network is going, his station is going to have you on there tonight at 10 o'clock.
Damn right.
You can watch Matt Spiegel on CBS2 tonight at 10 o'clock talking about the White Sox.
You can watch Lawrence Holmes tonight on NBC Channel 5 tonight at 10 o'clock.
That would seem to make sense.
Talking about the White Sox.
Yes.
See? See how that all works?
Yep. That's how we roll over here.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to everyone involved in today's show. We had a great show. This show got kind of crazy with the breaking news, but thanks to Joshua Perry, who was outstanding, our buddy Patrick Manley, our friend Mark Grody, who was ready for the play-play.
And congratulations to the Mini Fridge for earning the stickers that now adorn the front. More to come. Thank you for your suggestions, listeners, texters, and the mob on the Twitch.
For Shane and Tanny and Spiegel, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying we appreciate all the love and the support that you give us. We will try to reciprocate tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Spiegel and Holmes on the score.
All right, I got to go here, guys. I got something.